This meeting of Midlothian Council will be broadcast live to the internet and will be stored as part of the Council's webcast archive. I have the discretion to terminate or suspend filming if, in my opinion, allowing filming can continue would prejudice the proceedings of the meeting. Equally so, items that are heard in private will not be made available to the public. Members are reminded that the cameras are activated by the sound system and that they must switch on microphones when speaking and off when finished. Are there any apologies?
There's an apology for absence from Mr. Martin Cann.
Thank you. Order of business.
The order of business is as per the agenda circulated with one additional urgent report which the Acting Provost has agreed to take. This will be considered after item number 9.1.
Thank you. Declarations of interest. Are there any? Just to remind, you can also be made at when you've reached the item. Deputation, there are none. I'll be going to the minutes or the previous meeting, Midlothian Council, 19 September. Can I have approvals at a correct record? Thank you. The Cabinet, 24th November. Planning, 14th November. 5th December. General Purposes, 14th November. Performance Review and Scrutiny, 28th of November. Audit Committee, 26th of September. Those are for noting. For information, the minutes of the Midlothian Integrate Joint Board on the 7th of December. Motions, there are none. We now obviously go on to the public reports. We have item 8.2, which is appointment of Provost, and I'd like to hand over to John Blair.
Thanks, Acting Provost. This report invites Council to consider the arrangements to fill the role of Provost. The background is set out in Section 2, and Council is invited to consider the recommendations listed on page 9 of today's paper. Thanks.
Can I move the recommendations as they're stated in the paper?
I'll second that. Thanks, Provost.
Thank you, Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Chair. Are there any amendments to that motion?
Thank you. We now go on to item 8.3, which is the vacancy on Midlothian Licensing Board. Can we go to John Blair, please?
Thanks again. Acting Provost, similar to the previous report, Council is invited to fill the Licensing Board vacancy. The details are set out in the main body of the report, and Council is invited to consider the recommendation listed on page 12. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any, as you see the recommendations, it's noted that one of our members, Councillor Munro, has done the training, are reminded to grant Councillor Munro the privilege of being in the Licensing Board. Thank you. Item 8.4, the casual vacancy of Midlothian Council, handed over to Kenneth Lloyd.
Thank you, Acting Provost. Following the death of the Provost Councillor Adam Montgomery, I have to update the Council in regard to the arrangements I'm making in my capacity as returning officer for the by-election in Pennycook and to seek approval of the financial arrangements in this regard. In terms of Section 7.5 of the Local Government Act 1973, the Council is obliged to pay all expenditure properly incurred by the returning officer in relation to the holding of an election. The by-election itself will be held on Thursday, the 22nd of March. The counting of votes will be carried out manually on the following day, starting at 10 a.m. in the Ladywood Leisure Centre. The notice of election was published on Thursday, the 8th of February, and nominations close on Monday, the 19th at 4 p.m. Fuller details of the by-election arrangements can be found in the nomination pack, which is on the Council's website, And today I'm asking the Council to approve and note for its interest the arrangements for the forthcoming Midlothian Council by-election in Penicuik and to authorise the Chief Executive as returning officer to make the appropriate financial arrangements. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Exec. And we're now going to item 8.5, which is the Financial Strategy 2018-19 to 2021-22, report for Gary Fairley.
Thanks, Provost. This report provides Council with an update on the medium-term financial strategy, and importantly, it sets out recommendations to enable Council to set a balanced budget and determine Council tax levels for next financial year, 2018-19. Members will be familiar from previous reports of the challenging financial outlook and the range of proposals being considered, and the importance indeed of the Scottish Government grant settlement on the Council's financial position. Section 3 of the report sets out developments in respect of the grant position from the 14th of December Scottish Budget announcements and the associated grant settlement at that time, through to the announcement of additional grant support for local authorities as part one as part of the Stage 1 parliamentary debate. Members will be familiar with this from the details set out in the report and indeed from press coverage of the budget itself. The end result of the budget announcements is that the Council is now projected to receive a total revenue funding package of £157.762 million, of which £3.330 million is ring-fenced, leaving a core grant allocation of £154.432 million, which includes new monies for early years expansion and health and social care. A further £569,000 of grant will also be received in the current financial year as part of the settlement. In announcing the Scottish Government's budget, the Cabinet Secretary also set out Government's policy for public sector pay, with an amendment to that also announced on the 31st of January. The budget before members today reflects a provision for pay awards for 18-19, which is aligned to Government's pay policy. The impact of the revised settlement and the uplift in pay between them reduced the budget shortfall for 2018-19 by £4.051 million from that reported in the December report. Section 4 of the report sets out the position regarding council tax, and given the grant conditions, the report recommends the 3% increase in council tax, resulting in a bandy council tax of £1,283. Section 5 sets out the cost of service provision, the key assumptions on which that's based, the projected budget shortfalls and year-on-year movements, together with the movements from the last report in December. Section 7 sets out the proposed allocation to the Midlothian Integration Joint Board for next financial year, together with indicative allocations for later years. And subject to decisions by members today, the proposed requisition for next financial year would be £39.485 million. Section 8 of the report sets out the strands of the change programme and the proposals being put forward to address the 2018-19 and later years budget shortfalls. These proposals were presented to Council on the 10th of October to facilitate a period of engagement which ran until 14th of December, and feedback together with feedback from the 17-18 consultation is set out in Appendix 9. Updated proposals were presented to Business Transformation Steering Group in January this year, and the proposals set out today as in the appendices remain the same as presented to BTSG. They have not been amended as a consequence of the increased settlement announcement on 31st of January, really taking cognizance of the continuing challenge in later years, though it's noted that members may wish to take cognizance of the revised settlement and finalising the proposals for the following financial year. The budget proposals are summarised in Table 10 in the report, and including the increase in council tax would result in a transfer of reserves of £2.403 million. Section 9 sets out the governance requirements for members to note. Section 7, the reserves position, which is also reported on today's agenda. And given the projected reserve position at 31st of March 2018, which is just under £4 million, I would advise or I would advise it wouldn't be prudent to utilise reserves to balance the 18-19 budget. Section 12 includes details of the key risks and issues to consider as part of today's recommendations, and section 12.6 sets out further details of the engagement activity, including ongoing engagement with trade unions. Section 12.7 sets out the approach to ensuring equalities, with the overarching equality impact assessment included for members' attention at Appendix 10, with separate equality impact assessments published on the committee management system for each of the proposals. Provost, pause there. Happy to take any questions. Otherwise, Council are asked to consider the recommendations set out in Section 14 of the report.
Thank you, Gary. Can I call on Councillor Milligan?
Thank you, Deputy Provost. Acting Provost. There's no an easy way in which to set a budget here today that requires this Council to reduce its spending by nearly £10.5 million over the next financial year and nearly £40 million over the next 4 years. The one thing that is clear is that we cannot continue whatsoever to do budgets in this way, just simply salami slicing continually the way we've done for the last 5-6 years just isn't acceptable. We need to find a better way of doing that, and you can see in the Labour Group motion here today that we're talking about a completely bottom-up review, and that's starting with deciding what services this Council needs to provide and looking at what we need to provide that, and then looking at the back of that to see what we need to support that. We cannot continue to do budgets like this. It's just the proper way to do this, given the sheer challenges that we face. This has been a long run-in, or certainly it seems a long run-in, where, as the administration, we have met and spoken. We've had 5 public meetings, which I've headed up on every one. They've been reasonably well attended. We've had some good feedback for the public in that, and we've taken that into account in our budget proposals. We've had school children in, we've had schools representative, we'd have young adults in, and we've met with them and we've taken their views on board. We've met with staff, individual staff members, groups of staff, trade unions. We've met with users, user groups. We've met with the voluntary sector. And we've taken all their views into account. There's been an online survey that's had a reasonably good feedback, and we've all had individual contacts, either emails, phone calls, personal visits, etc. It isn't easy, because there's always going to be losers in this aspect, and I'm not going to say there's going to be any winners. There's always only going to be losers when you're trying to take this sizeable amount of money out of budget. The Midlothian Labour Group gave a commitment, as asked in here at the last meeting, that it made its budget public and available for people to see in advance of this. We did so. We had hoped to do late on last week. Unfortunately, we're still trying to get some facts and figures together, so we released it on Saturday morning, and most people got it. Some didn't, because there was a fail to send on our system, and indeed we had to resend some because they were failing to download. But in general, I think everybody had, or the mass majority of people had, this budget on the Saturday. It was available very public and on Facebook on the Sunday, and I think at the very least everybody had our budget proposals early Monday morning. The budget proposals are set out as in the paper. I am quite happy to come back and answer any questions. I think people have had plenty of time to see that. There is one area that we would slightly amend, and that is on the recommendation 8.7, the anticipated fees and charges, where we have asked that be remitted to the Director of Resources in conjunction with myself. Can we just sort of expand that to a representative for each of the political groups to meet with the director, just to confirm that paper, because I think each of the political groups have some concerns as to the proposals set in there. We have reduced in our budget final line paper the amount taken to allow us to alter that. We have hard copy, paper copies here of your budget for anybody who's not got it, with a quality impact assessments for anybody who would like an asset. So we'd just like to formally move the Labour Group budget proposals and amendments tabled within, and hope that members see that there has been a great deal of thought and a great deal of consideration into what the public, the users, the unions, the staff have had to say out there. I formally move.
Thank you, Councillor Milligan. Councillor Muirhead?
When I can find the button. I'll formally second at this time.
Any other groups wish to ask any questions? Councillor Pat?
Thanks, Acting Provost. At this point, it seems sensible to introduce the SNP amendment as well, which all councillors should have and were sent digital copies of yesterday. However, I appreciate that there is other people in the room that might want a copy of that, so we have made those available and can send digital ones over as well. But I know that some of you aren't fans of iPads, so we have got some paper copies in as well. I appreciate the points that Councillor Milligan has raised, but I think that for people that who have had sight of the amendment already, you can see that there is one striking difference and contrast in terms of our amendment and the Labour amendment. And I know that we might take some time after this, particularly for the other group, to take some time out and have a look at that. But what I would say is, before we come back into the chamber and take forward one amendment or the other, is that the SNP feel that we have set out a progressive approach that focuses on our communities and our people and our children, most importantly. And the other, as far as I can see and our group are concerned, the Labour amendment balances the books on the backs of our children, and we think that that's unacceptable. In terms of the process, I think it's been unorganised, mismanaged, lacking transparency at times, and frustrating, a bit like the administration at times. But the one point I would agree with is that the challenges that we face are real. We do have to do things differently, and that's exactly what we've tried to look at. But I would say that the challenges that we face are perhaps not the ones inspired by the tiring woes of the council leader, or the ones that we've had to hear for months and months and months. It is a fact that, you know, we have to make tough choices, but I have continuously heard from the public that Councillor Milligan has stood up at these public meetings and blamed the SNP group and the previous administration. But I would like to point out that the Labour group took over a council with reserves at a higher level than any other year of the previous Labour administrations, perhaps with exceptions of 2010. And coming from a council leader that once took us into negative reserves, I'm sure you can appreciate where we are coming from. We also have to acknowledge that we are in times of austerity. We have put a fair bit of context about that in our budget, and we hope that that is taken on board. We don't think that's something that's acknowledged all too often enough from the Labour administration. And we have to, of course, acknowledge that the Scottish Government have gave us an extra £2.6 million in contribution to Midlothian's budget as well. And we think it's really important that is distributed well and in the right way. So in terms of the SNP amendment, we don't disagree in its entirety with the Labour budget amendment. I think it's very clear to see that when we see both those amendments together, that there's some similarities. I think on many particular points that we're on the same page, and I think that's why it's so disappointing for us as a group, who have really put in the effort to do cross-party work and to instigate cross-party groups and cross-party meetings, that we couldn't have come to some sort of arrangement before we have a straight vote on it here today. So back in September, we asked for a cross-party group to be working through these things and looking at these things, and we're disappointed that we couldn't take those decisions then. And I think the decision to publish the Labour amendment quickly and over the weekend was disappointing. I know that it's not just the SNP councillors that were disappointed at that. It would have been nice to have come back to the table and had a look through and actually sit down together and work through that. And I hope that that's something that the Conservative group can pick up as well. We do want to make the point that our amendment is right. It focuses in the right places. We really hope that councillors will rethink their approach to attack our education services, the approach to cut learning assistance, teacher numbers, increasing the price of school meals and charging for music tuition is thoroughly disappointing and shameful. And we think that Labour are trying to balance the books on the backs of our children. We think that that is wholly unacceptable, and we hope that other councillors will reconsider their approach today and agree with us that that is the wrong way to do things, and hope that they can vote in another way. So I'm happy to pause there for any questions in terms of the SNP amendment, and if people want to take some time to read over that, I'm happy with that as well. Thank you, Acting Provost.
Thank you, Councillor Parry. Do you have a seconder for your motion? Thank you, Councillor Beard.
Thank you, Acting Provost. Yeah, I'd like to fully support that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Winchester.
Thank you, Acting Provost. The Conservative Party would like a time out so we can look at both budgets side by side. They are very similar. And there's one, as Councillor Parry said, there's one big difference in them. And I think that may actually sway us to one side or the other. For the first time ever, I think, in Midlothian, Midlothian Council has three groups that should be working together, and both parties putting forward amendment would need the Conservatives to either abstain or vote against or vote for them to ensure a budget goes through. Unfortunately, the collaboration has been a bit sporadic, and we're hoping that next year the councillors, the groups, can all get together and work towards making Midlothian a better place and a more financially stable council. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, Councillor Hackett.
Thank you, Acting Provost. I had two questions, one for the SNP group and one for the Conservative group. It was just to check, the SNP, you had said that you would save Mayfield Leisure Centre and the New Battle Pool, and I'm just wondering if any provision, financial provision, has been made in your budget to save both of those services, which I think is about $500,000 plus probably additional refurbishment for both of those facilities. And a question to Pauline. Do you intend to present a budget today or just amend other people's?
Councillor Parry.
Thanks, Acting Provost. I'm happy to take that question for Councillor Hackett. To be clear, the budget figures that we've put forward are the budget figures that are most recent and up to date, as provided to us by finance colleagues. We can only budget for what's in the budget, and Labour councillors in this chamber took the decision to cut the funding for that and close those facilities. So if you've got a problem with that, more than happy to come to an agreement about the money. SNP have been absolutely crystal clear at the time and in the vote that we didn't want those facilities to close, nor did we vote for them to close. So if that's an issue you want to raise, I'm happy to take that forward.
Councillor Winchester.
Thank you, Acting Provost. No, we're not presenting an amendment. We've looked at both parties' amendments put forward, and we'll make a decision on those.
Councillor Milligan.
Yeah, Provost, if I heard Councillor Winchester correctly, she asked for a time out. We're quite happy to agree a time out. Could she give us an indication of how long we're looking for here?
Could we have a 10-minute timeout, please?
Does all the group leaders agree to that? Yeah, thank you.